if you've got a Bible, you may want to just follow me. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip over next to a Christian. They'll have one. So, I had just been talking about how God's people were getting ready to overthrow the leadership, which was Moses and Aaron. And it's quite interesting because God's people, as usual, were never happy with what God had provided. They weren't happy with the water. They weren't happy with their clothes. Weren't happy with the food. They weren't happy with the leadership. I think they were from Norway. No, I'm just... Did I say that? I can't prove that scripturally, but I'm thinking they were from Oslo. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Come on, bro. Here we go. No, you got to do this. There you go. All right. Now we're cooking. That's it. So I'm reading this 15th, 16th chapter, right? And they get to that one verse. It's in that, 46, 47, 48th verse. Because you got to stay with me here because the story takes some quick twists and turns. So you got to pay attention. So you've got several million Jews out here. Moses and Aaron up here. Who do you want to be, Moses or Aaron?
Moses.
Of course you do. Okay. All right. Not a bad thing. It's all good. So God's looking down at his people because they're getting ready to overthrow Moses and Aaron. So God's looking down and sees the rebellion of the people. And he basically says, okay, you don't like what I've provided? You don't like what I've given to you? Then I'm just going to kill all of you. And that's why I like God. Exactly. Because he takes it, and then one day, he ain't taking it no more. That's it. So that day was the day. And my prayer, as I'm getting older now, is simple. I would love to see God do that one more time in all of our churches. Wouldn't that be great? Just kill all the complainers. Just kill the complainers. Now, he'd have to do it on Sunday morning because they never come any other time. They never come. So if you're going to kill them, you got to kill them Sunday morning. All right, back to the message. So the Bible says there's 14,700 people that just start falling over dead. You can read all this tonight when you get back or tomorrow, but I just need you to stay with me here because I'm setting this up for you. 14,700 people just falling over dead. Now watch this. Stay with me because the story takes a turn here. Moses turns to Aaron and he basically says, do something. See, that's what the urgency will do. My God. See, when you get close enough to the urgency of life, the urgency all by itself will demand a response. It demands something from you. We had a little girl in New York went to our Sunday school. Her father was a drug dealer there in New York. She just came home from Sunday school. Her father had a kilo of cocaine on the table and he was cutting up to sell it. And the little girl looks at her dad and says, "Daddy, you're not supposed to be doing this. We learned that in Sunday school." The father got so angry. He went in the little girl's bedroom. She had a little kitten she kept as a pet in a box under her bed. He takes the kitten, puts it next to the kilo of cocaine, and in front of his daughter, takes the knife, cuts the head of the kitten off, and then tries to stuff the head of the kitten in the little girl's mouth. You know, guys, I don't live like you. You know that. That's my world. We live in different worlds. That's all. But when you live close enough to the urgency of life, that's why some of you need to go with me. Go with me to the Philippines. Walk with me in the garbage dump where the kids live. Go to the cemetery with me where children live amongst the remains of dead people. Yeah. We do Sunday school in the cemetery. There's 1,000 squatters that live amongst the tombs. I told you guys, this isn't going to be normal church services. It's just different. It's just different. But you know that now. Everybody okay? You all doing good? You okay? All right. Different world. This is the needs of real life. And as much as I love coming to this country, you guys know this is a little bit like a bubble. It's a bubble. Am I right? It's the Norway bubble. You know it. I know it. This is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise kids. It's great. But it's a little bit of a bubble. These couple of days, I'm going to take you out of the bubble. Okay? We good with that? All right. Praise the Lord. The urgency demands something from you. Moses says, do something. He says, run to the altar, get some fire, and then just go. Do something. So for those of you that are a little more astute in your biblical knowledge, you'll understand this part. Aaron grabs a censer. It's like a brass rod with a cup on the end. He's got this rod with the cup.
Oh, use this right here.
Yeah. It's got a cup on the end. He runs to the altar of God, scoops some fire from the altar up in this cup, and he runs out into the middle of where these people are dying. You got your Bible open? Look at that 48th verse of the 16th chapter of Numbers. Here's the whole message right here. Here's the hook. What does it say? It says, and he stood between the living and the dead. And where he stood, the death stopped. Now, the question the pastor asked me in Florida was what? Do you really believe, my God, Do you really believe that one person can make a difference? What do you think? Looks like it, doesn't it? One man. Stood, my God. He stood between the living and the dead. Where he stood, where he just stood with the fire, it says the death stopped there. But what did he have to do first? He ran to an altar. God help us. He ran to the altar. He got some fire. And then he just went right out into the middle of where the need was. And he stood between the living and the dead. And it stopped there. So for the last few minutes I've got with you tonight, I'm not going to talk about Moses. Great leader, one of the great leaders, but that's not where I want to go with this tonight. I'm not going to talk about the rebellion of the people. That's for another message. But if one person really can make a difference, and it's obvious we see in the text that it's possible, for the last couple of minutes, I want to talk to you about Aaron. Interesting character, this guy Aaron. Not on the same spiritual level as Moses, not even close. He had problems of his own. Spiritual problems. He had all kinds of drama. Please don't miss this in Jesus' name. But one very ordinary man with all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, and yet he sees the need. He's watching these people die. I'm trying to think if I should tell you this or not. I don't usually pick my words as carefully, but I don't know if you have ever held a child in your arms and watched them die. If you have, you'll never forget it. And if you have not, I pray someday you will have that opportunity. Because if you don't understand death, you'll never understand life. You can't do it. Can't do it. You'll never be able to justify the two conditions. And I'm holding the little boy. And it's just... And then you watch his eyes go back and he's gone. Don't ever wonder, folks, why I'm like I am. Don't wonder. Okay? Don't wonder. I've seen 23 people murdered in front of me. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here because I don't have any place else to go. You know that now. I believe it's time for Norway. I said it's time for Norway. It's time for the churches in Norway to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to make a difference. We're going to bring change to the Christians in this country to see the need and move to make a difference. That's what these meetings are about. That's why I'm here. I hope that's why you're here. To see it's time to make a difference. I want to talk for a few minutes about this guy, Aaron. Ordinary person. All kinds of personal problems. All kinds of struggles. But there came that moment in time. that something connected with him. So as I began researching the man, I picked up a few things and jotted it down on the plane, and three observations about Aaron. I'm going to give them to you quickly, and then I'll get out of your way. The first thing I noticed as I started researching this Aaron character, particularly in the light of this story, Aaron and the fire was the only thing that stood between the living and the dead. Congregation didn't go. The leadership didn't go. A committee didn't go. Thank God a committee did not go. If a committee would have went, they'd all died. The committee would have had to vote. Well, what do you think? What do you think? Yeah. My definition of a committee is very simple. It's the unfit appointed by the unwilling to do the unnecessary. That's the committee. You got it? Perfect. Come on. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on, Jesus. No, Aaron, look at me. Aaron and the fire was the only thing that stood between the living and the dead. I'll tell you this story because I think it'll make sense to you. We were doing a Sunday school in the Bronx section of New York, pretty tough part of New York City. And we had two guys that were doing it, two men. It was a tough area, all kinds of problems, a couple of shootouts, a couple of people got stabbed. And so the two guys came to me. They said, Pastor, we're going to have to shut this Sunday school down. And I said, guys, you know how I feel about quitting. I don't like it. They said, we're just afraid somebody's going to get hurt. I said, look, I put you in charge, make the decision. So they closed the Sunday school. Well, 2 weeks later, two of our girl staff members come up to me. They said, Pastor Bill, we want to reopen that Sunday school. I said, girls, the guys can't even do it. They said, exactly. I've learned sometimes the best man for the job is a woman. Thank you. Thank you, dear. Thank you. Where's my ladies? Where's my ladies at? Come on, ladies. Come on. Mm-hmm. I said, I'll let you do it under one condition. If something gets crazy, you guys get out of there. I wish we'd had a video camera. It was amazing. These two girls got the drug dealers to act like security around the Sunday school. Oh, it was great. This is great. They had the mothers standing around. This is one of our outdoor Sunday schools. It's an amazing thing. They had two little kids there, brother and sister. And they were not mentally retarded, but they were just slow. But great little kids, never missed Sunday school. And so we visit every kid in our Sunday schools all over the world, every week. So the girls were visiting there at the kids' apartment. And they were standing at the door, knocking on the door. And they could hear a television on, but nobody would answer the door. So it was a little strange because the kids didn't go to school because of their condition, so the mother was always there with them. Well, the girls went and did Sunday school. They did Sunday school the next day. And kids weren't there. Very unusual. Because the kids never missed. So after Sunday school, they go to the apartment again. They're knocking on the door. Now they're standing there. And they smelled something strange. So they knew something wasn't right. So they're knocking on the door. Called the police. Police came. And our girls are just waiting outside the door. They knew something was wrong. So the cops come. They decide to break down the door. So they break down the door. And the mother was laying dead just inside the door. Her throat had been cut down to her spine. She'd been dead for almost a week. That was the smell. And the two little kids, they really didn't have the understanding of what was going on. And when the cops broke the door down, then of course, and again, it's New York, everything just explodes. The kids start screaming, then the neighbors start coming out. It's bad, it's bad. Our girls are just standing here, just watching this whole thing play out. And they turned to the police. They said, look, we know those kids. Because now the kids are screaming. Everything's out of control. They said, let us go in. We can help you with the children. Well, I understand. It was a crime scene. I get it. So they wouldn't let the girls in. So our girls are just waiting in the hallway. Well, the whole situation was, I can't really explain it to you unless you really understand New York City. But things escalate, problems escalate very fast there. You saw in the video, all it takes is one little thing and everything just comes apart. So our girls waited in the hallway for over 6 hours. And now the thing's getting really out of control. So the lieutenant comes and he says to our girls, he said, look, if you can help us, we'll let you go in. They stepped over the body of the dead mother, sat with the killed kids. The kids had eaten all the food in the apartment. And when our girls got in there, the kids had eaten all the cereal, and now they were eating the cereal box. A couple weeks later, I get a call from the New York City Police Department. They said, preacher, we don't have any fingerprints. We probably won't know who killed a woman. He said, but that's not why I'm calling you. He said, I've seen those buses that Metro has all over New York. He says, I've seen the trucks where the side of the truck comes down and becomes a stage, and there are mobile Sunday schools that we do all over New York City. He said, but I never really understood what you people did. But he said, I talked to the lieutenant that was at the crime scene. He told me about your two girls. He said, we've never seen anything like that as policemen, ever. He said, I don't know exactly what you people do. He said, but whatever it is, I want to encourage you to keep doing it. Because it looks like it makes a difference. Oh, well, wait a minute. I wasn't there. I was back in Brooklyn at the base. The two girls that we're talking about, you'll never see them on Christian television. You'll never read about them in a Christian magazine. You want to know why? I'll explain it. The one only made it to the eighth grade in school. She had to quit school to go to work to provide for the family. She knows she's not as smart as other people. So when she's around adults, she kind of keeps her head down. She's great with the kids, loves the kids, but a little bit embarrassed. And her partner, the other girl, she's very poor. She had one dress. She wore the same dress every day. Every day. They're nobodies. Nobody's. But that day, those two girls literally stood between the living and the dead. And where they stood, they made a difference. So what kind of people do this? Ordinary people. Just like me and you. Don't let the suit fool you. See, you don't know me. You don't know me. Yeah, I got the PhD. Yeah, I'm on television all over the world. And all that's great. But remember this. I'm still the little boy that was left on the street corner. Don't confuse what you're looking at tonight. Don't confuse this. It's always been about ordinary people that choose to do extraordinary things for the Lord. That's what this has always been about. It's never been about the hot shots. I've been around the big time preachers. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying. Of course you do. Yeah. Aaron and the fire was the only thing that stood between the living and the dead. But the second thing I noticed as I was trying to research his life, it was quite interesting. What did Moses tell Aaron to do? Remember what he said? He said, run to the altar. Now, this is the part most preachers don't know. You have to understand the history. Do you know how old Aaron was at that time? He was 100 years old. Moses says, run to the altar. He's 100, folks. He ain't running nowhere. Your days of running are over, bro. You're done. You ain't running nowhere. You still got your Bible open? Look at that 47th verse. You can't run, Aaron. It's impossible. Your time's come and gone. But if you look, oh, there it is right there. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it. And he ran. He ran. Isn't it amazing what you can do that you can't do? Come on, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Because when you just, my God, I want to slap somebody right now. Because when you choose to make a difference, somebody's going to tell you you're too old. Somebody else going to tell you you're too young. Somebody else going to tell you you're too smart for that. Somebody else going to say you're too stupid. When you choose to step out and you see the need and you move, somebody is always going to have something to say to you. But I came to Norway to tell somebody this weekend. Somebody this weekend is going to get this. They're going to see the need. It's going to connect with them. And somebody's going to step out of the box. Step out of the boat. Step out of something. Step out of something in Jesus' name. God help us. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody's going to have to step out of something and say, it really is time for Norway. It's time for this place. Hey, Aaron was the most unlikeliest person to do this than you could find. It makes no sense. See, that's the beauty about Metro World Child. Because, you know, when people hear about all the fights that I've been in, stabbed twice, shot, so stabbed four times, shot twice, been in three plane crashes, still get in street fights. In Jesus' name. Because if you're going to get in a fight in church, you got to do it in Jesus' name. You got to try to make it spiritual. If you're going to smack somebody, you got to do it in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. And if they've never seen me, all they've done is they've read the book and they've heard the stories. And then I walk in. And you can see people go. Things that make you go, Yeah. It's like they give me the dog look. You know what the dog look is. Yeah. It's when you talk to your dog and your dog goes, that's the dog look. Do not give me the dog look. But they look at me because I don't look that big and they don't get it and they just go, this can't be the guy that does all this stuff we read about and see on TikTok. Can't be. That's the beauty of it. It makes no sense. Because if I can do this, look at the person next to you. Say, you can do it too. Tell somebody, you can do it too. You can do this in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. It doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. That's the beauty. You know God's got to be in it. Because it makes no sense. You want to talk about unlikely? You are looking right here at the most unlikeliest person to do what I do that you will ever meet in your life. Makes no sense. He was 100, man. He was 100. You can't do it, Aaron. You can't run. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You get close enough to the urgency. I wish some of you would go with me someday. Walk with me. Come with me. Let the urgency grip you. Let it grab you by the throat. And then let's see what happens. Yeah. But last, the last thing I noticed in the life of this unusual guy, I think Aaron just did what he knew to do. He just did what he knew to do. It's like the guy that picked me up off the street. He's 88 years old now. He won't be around much longer. Yeah. He doesn't have anybody to take care of him. So I do. See, there was a time he had to take care of me. Now, I take care of him. And I do it with joy. I do it with joy. We've had a lot of discussions over the years. I brought him to New York once, years ago, when he was a little younger. I stood him on the corner. I let him watch 40 buses bringing kids in. I just let him watch. I just leaned over and I said, Dave, I said, take a good look, my friend. This is what you've done. This is what you've done. Yeah. And, you know, I asked him, I said, why did you stop? Your own kid was dying. Why did you stop? Because you know anybody could have stopped and picked me up off the street. That was the 1960s in America. It was a very different time than what it is now. Anybody could have picked me up. Gang member? Drug dealer? Pedophile? Anybody. And if anybody else would have picked me up, $214,000 would not have heard the story of Jesus last week. You better get this, folks. You young people need to get this. You need to pay attention. Because there are defining moments in life when your whole life can be changed in one moment. One moment, and everything flips. I said, why'd you do it, man? Your own kid was dying. Why'd you stop? He said, I thought if I could get you into the presence of God one time, maybe something would change. I guess it did, didn't it? I guess it did. And I've never looked back. He didn't have to go to a conference. Didn't have to read 5 books. Didn't even have to go to Bible school. He just saw the little boy that nobody wanted. That's why when you hear me say the need is the call, that's what we're talking about this weekend. If you see a need and you can fill that today, that, my friends, is the call of God for you today. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you this and we got to go. We had a lady from Puerto Rico come to Brooklyn. She came to our adult church. She gave her life to Christ. Got really good and saved. Could speak no English, just Spanish. Yeah. But after she gave her life to Christ, she came to me and through an interpreter, she said, Pastor Bill, she said, I want to do something for God. He's done so much for me, he saved me. I got to do something. What can I do? I honestly didn't know what to tell her. I mean, she can't speak the language. It's going to be tough. I said, look, we got 40 buses. Just ride a different bus every week and just love the kids. I didn't know what else to say. I was shocked, but she did it. Because you know how Christians are. Yeah. They tell you all kinds of things. You just... In Jesus' name. She did it. Every week she rode a different bus. Found the dirtiest, poorest little kid on that Sunday school bus. But she learned how to say in English, I love you, Jesus loves you.
I love you. Jesus elsker deg.
That's all she could say. And every week she found the poorest little kid on that Sunday school bus. She put the kid on her lap, and all the way to Sunday school and all the way home, she would just whisper to the kid, I love you, Jesus loves you. I love you, Jesus loves you, because that's all she could say.
Yeah.
That went on for 3 months. Yeah. And she came and she said, Pastor Bill, I don't want to change buses anymore. I want to stay on that bus.
She
said, okay, that's fine. She had connected with one little boy, little five-year-old boy on that bus. There was something, I don't even know how to explain it to you guys. She saw something in that little boy. And the kid wouldn't talk. I mean, he'd be in Sunday school. He would always keep his hands like this. We didn't know if he couldn't talk, wouldn't talk, because he never said anything. So it was 2 weeks before Christmas. And she'd been riding that bus and whispering, I love you, Jesus loves you. He would just sit like this, never said a thing. He lived in a drug house there in Brooklyn, not far from the church. Two weeks before Christmas. The bus is getting ready to drop him off. And she whispered one last time, I love you, Jesus loves you. And usually he would just get off her lap, get off the bus, and go in the back of the house. But today was different. He got off of her lap, and he turned his back to the rest of the bus, so they couldn't hear him. He took her face in his hands like this. He pulled her face close to him. And he tried to say, I'll just say it. Love you. You too. Yeah. And he gave her a big hug. That's why he never talked. Because he couldn't. That was 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon. At 6:30 that night, they found him dead in a garbage bag under the fire escape of his building. That afternoon, his drug addict mother took a baseball bat, beat him to death, threw him in the garbage, and threw him away. But one of the last things that little boy heard from a lady who couldn't even speak English. I love you. Jesus loves you. And I'll tell you one last thing. There's a little boy in heaven tonight. And nobody will ever convince me otherwise. Because it was a very ordinary lady. Couldn't speak the language. Not a Bible school graduate. Just normal lady. But she loved that little boy. She loved him. And he knew it. He knew it. So I'm going to ask you the question one last time, and I'm finished. Is it possible for one person to really make a difference? I think so. I think so. Let's pray. Heads bowed, please. Eyes closed. No one looking around, please. My time is gone. In the quietness of this moment, I've asked them to play a song. I've asked them to play "How Great Is Our God." Ladies, if you could play that, please. Let me see. How do we end a service like this? I don't know exactly. But I think I know what I'd like to do. Just go ahead and play, ladies.